Hey everybody, welcome to Early Access PyCharm. I'm your host, Nafiel Islam. Today I'll be talking to Michael Golubev, who is the main creator of the Docker plugin. Now Michael has been working on this for a very long time, so I thought I'd catch up with him and figure out when he started this, why he did what he did, and what he plans to do in the future. So Michael, how did you start all of this?
At the time I was working on the application server support. I still do support for these plugins, so which are not very popular these days, but they were popular like 5 or 6 years ago, and they are still a significant part of the Ultimate. So at the time we decided that we are going to extend this support into the cloud. So I actually started to write plugins for cloud platforms known at the time. So it started with Cloud Foundry and then some other, most of them are not like actively used in this day. And then someone told me that there is a new thing named Docker and that it is like, basically like Cloud Foundry, but somewhat different. So we started just to support. So the first idea was that it is just a way that allow you to run some code somewhere else. So we just tried to adopt the existing infrastructure for like our cloud support into the Docker. Yeah, and the Docker plugin had this history embedded into it like for a long time. So for a long time, the main action that you can do for container was named deploy. This like verb comes from the application server where you have your like var and you deploy it into the application server. Then we used this for clouds where you took your application and deploy it from cloud. And then for Docker, we also like the same infrastructure was used for all of them. Only I think 2 years ago or maybe 2 releases ago, we just finally removed. So I think the last usage of that application server, like verbs from our Docker support, because Docker, of course, is completely like different thing.
Going back to the motivations behind this, did you want to start this plugin primarily because you wanted IntelliJ to move towards supporting more cloud deployment options because you saw that more and more people were using the cloud? Or is it because this is just something that you wanted to do and you just enjoyed building this kind of support?
There was definitely some like forces to go to the cloud and support development in some other environment other than the local machine. And honestly, at the time, I did not like understood what exactly Docker is and how it is different and how I actually was not sure that this technology will like will long time. At the very beginning, it was just one of the like many plugins we started at basically at the same time. So at the same time, we started to do Oracle Cloud support, which is still like in the marketplace, but never was downloaded for, I think, maybe 200 times or something like that. Yeah. And there were like a couple of similar plugins I started to do. And then it quickly turns out that's actually very, very popular technology because it became very popular very, very quickly. And at some point it was just, I found myself that the plugin is downloaded like much more times than I normally expect for any other plugins in the area. And this time I actually decided that well, based on the demand, we just need to put more efforts into the Docker. So Docker became like the primary area of my efforts.
Okay. So you started this Docker thing. It hit off. It got a few thousand downloads. And I'm guessing you're starting to think, how do we make this support even better? So I believe in the beginning, it was more about showing what containers are running. And now it's a little more capable than that. Of course, you've always had support for Docker files and making sure that's syntactically correct. So how did your thinking change in terms of what a Docker support actually meant in an IntelliJ IDE?
We were participating in DockerCons from, I don't know, maybe from the third or fourth one, and we always had a booth. And I was always like part of the boost team, and we were constantly doing some UX like testing and actively like asking users what they like actually want. And like users always told us that they basically want to run the application. They want to have experience of the local environment while running on the dock. What happens is our like run targets initiative. So run targets for Docker was like the first run target.
A quick note here. Run targets inside of JetBrains is a new project, or rather it's an existing project that aims to make remote interpreters or things like remote interpreters more accessible. So, for example, whether you have an interpreter on an Oracle cloud or an Amazon cloud or in a Docker container or anything else, we want to be able to give you the feeling of being able to develop locally. Okay, now back to Michael.
We develop, and I think all of this project is actually to bring the local experience into the development for Java, like primarily Java applications on remote environments. Bring what users of PyCharm and Ruby and PHP and WebStorm already have from the interpreters into the world of Java, Go, and others IDEs that are not like interpreting things, but need some computers.
So in terms of milestones of the Docker plugin, how do you think about it? Did it start off with basic file support, then visualization, then panel? How can you just tell me through what features or what things did you think that the plugin did over time that were like milestones?
Just a dashboard thing with, I think, just probably two different actions. So you can deploy thing into, or so launch container and like remove container from the Docker. Then we added support for the Docker file language. So just some basic language support, editing support in the editor. And then we extended to Docker Compose. Again, started from the editor support because it was like the easiest thing. Just added some like schema based completion validation and like similar editing features based on the like custom Docker Compose schema. At the time there were no like canonical official Docker Compose schema, so we just written our own. Then launching all the Compose application and managing Compose application like in dashboard style. Then different, not very successful attempts to implement the like Java debug for Docker applications. At this time, the guys brought the interpreters into the Docker plugin. And then finally, 2 years, like year and a half ago, we started combining this approach into the run target support and for Docker. And at the time, we significantly expanded the dashboard part of things. So we are now allowing a lot more developers to observe much more things in the Docker. So like from the previous release, we added support for networks. Like you can see networks in the Docker dashboard. So then this release, we will add things that are only available in the paid version of like pro version of Docker dashboard in the Docker desktop, and we will allow to like dig into the file system of the volume and into the file system of the layers. So in the like latest YAP, we have added capability of inspecting deep inspection of the image, so you can see which like layer of the image brings which set of files, which is like for different optimization, specifically like in Spring Boot and other like Quarkus environments used in Java, where you are layering the application may significantly impact the size of the image, and so where the ability to see layers is useful. And right now it is mainly So the main goal for us is to support other like Docker, like other ways of like working on Docker. After the Docker desktop became a paid feature, and right now the most wanted ticket I have is to support Podman in the Docker plugin. So that's what we are working right now.
I really find that interesting because it's really gone through its own kind of journey. I wanted to ask you about the Docker ecosystem itself. Do you feel like languages like Python, Go, and Ruby were faster to adopt Docker than, say, Java?
Maybe actually the adoption through here was faster, but I have to say that Java is not very slow. The adoption in the Java world and in the Go world, I think that maybe Go world was even faster than Python and stuff like that.
This is what I saw. I did see that Go was the fastest to adopt Docker. And I think the reason for that is because Go is very simple. You can compile everything down to a binary. Even if you have HTML files in a web application, you can compile that down into a single binary and you can just put it in a container. Sometimes I wonder, why do you even need a container? You could probably run it anywhere for a Go file. But the interesting thing for me is that we've been working on this support slowly and steadily over time. And recently, you just said that right now there is a move from, say, Docker to Podman. So would you mind telling me a little bit about how Podman is different from Docker?
Actually, that for the developer, the main like difference is actually not between Podman and Docker, but between the Podman Docker desktop. So the current state and the current spike of the interest into the Podman, which we definitely see because I have like probably 200 or more than 200 watts during commands for the Podman support, is just because so Docker told everyone a month ago that the Docker desktop will be paid. And we can expect that there is an interest from the community to like at least observe the other possible options. Right now, I would say that the Podman is something like it is so definitely like good, or it is definitely ready to market technology which can be used and actually is used in the production for main system. I think that Kubernetes has switched to, so it is used inside the Kubernetes now. So it is definitely internally very like prominent and capable technology, which is definitely 100% capable of replacing Docker completely. But when it comes to like developer convenience, then the Docker desktop definitely beats Podman, you know, with a big margin. So right now I would say that Podman is like Docker maybe 4 years ago, when there were like 5 years ago, when there was Docker machine, which was like the main like way of running Docker on Mac and I think on Windows. And right now it is basically the same way for developers to run Podman on Mac. You need to set up something like Vagrant or some other virtualization like manager. You need to set up some kind of virtual machine. Then you run Podman inside the virtual machine. So like for me, I just tried to do that and it's taken like one working day to launch it the first time. This is basically the difference. So inside the technology, the containerization thing, the capability of the engines are basically the same. I think the Podman has a goal of mimicking the Docker thing completely. So at the very beginning, they promised that you can just replace in the all command lines Docker with Podman and everything will work exactly like it was working for the Docker. Unfortunately for us as a like vendor, like which tries to manage. So at least for us, for last, I think 5 or 6 months, they like brought complete support for the REST API. Basically, again, 100% mimicking what we have in the Docker specification. And for us, the transition for the user of the Docker plugin from Docker to Podman is more or less effortless thing. And I think for basically in the next year for IDEA, I think we have more or less the same capabilities of the Docker plugin as a user can expect for a Docker machine.
Awesome. Misha, thank you so much for joining us, and I hope to see you again soon. And I hope to see that our plugin supports Podman as well as, of course, Docker Desktop pretty soon.
Great. Thank you.
And thank you for listening. If you want more of these podcasts, let us know on Twitter and YouTube.